Lord, may quiet our hearts that we may listen to your still small voice, so that in hearing your word we may respond in fervent faith. As Jesus led disciples of old, so lead your children today. We ask it in his name. Amen. You may be seated. The December 2015 issue of the National Geographic has a photograph of a painting with the title, "The Most Powerful Woman in the World." And this is not a painting of Maggie Thatcher or Hillary Clinton or Angela Merkel or even Mother Teresa, but rather Mary, the mother of Jesus, the most powerful woman in the world. The cover story that follows is a story about Mary and her role throughout history, and it's a remarkable account of Mary, our universal symbol of love, and her position in society as a touchstone of our longing for meaning. We all know Mary, the mother of Jesus, is everywhere in our social fabric. Think about it for a minute. You remember what a Hail Mary pass is in football? And shrines all over the world to world-famous paintings from the likes of Michelangelo and others of Mary. And something I didn't know or understand is that Muslims as well as Christians revere Mary and consider her to be holy. Her name in the Quran is Maryam, and it appears more times than Mary in our own New Testament. And in the Quran, it's the only woman who has her own chapter, or surah as they call them, and it is the chapter called Maryam. And the story is much the same, with a virgin birth. However, in the Quran, Joseph is missing. But devout Muslims also hold a reverence for the Virgin Mary as well. And amazingly, she brings two apparently very different beliefs together in their love and respect for this symbol of hope and peace in the world. In the New Testament, Mary only speaks four times, and in today's gospel lesson, this is Mary's longest speech when she utters those prophetic words, "Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed." Mary is a symbol for each of us of the type of faithful person we wish to be. Imagine for a moment being a teenage girl and finding that you're pregnant and then being told, "Don't worry, your baby is God." And rather than run screaming, as most of us would, she is absolutely obedient. She is a servant. Not many of us would be quite so obedient to the teachings of God, and not so many of us would be quite so willing to serve in this dramatic way. Oh, we certainly pride ourselves when we make the big ones, the big Ten Commandments, but even those Ten Commandments can get a little slippery. Take that last one, for instance, that one about coveting. We're all just a little covetous of something. And this time of year, we get particularly covetous. I can tell you that nearly every Sunday, someone in this church comes in with something I covet. It might be the amazing artistic outfits that Anne wears, or the elegant pins and jewelry that Kay wears, or it might be the big grin Tom has when he gets back from a fly fishing trip, or it might be the very cool classic rock and roll t-shirts I see on the back row from time to time, or it might be the cheerful spirit we see in our own Susan each Sunday, or it might be the faithfulness of Henry as he is in his pew like clockwork to remind us all is well in the world. And it might be one of those 9 puppies that are 3 weeks old right now, old English sheepdogs. I covet that. All of that. And every single one of you. And it's right there in the Ten Commandments. I shouldn't do it. So how about you? Is there anything that you want that someone else has that you don't have? Well, God is pretty tricky about all this business. Just when we wish we could have one of these things from others, we realize and we see the key. We already have it. We already have it in a sense because we have one another and because we're in community together. So when one of us has joy in our treasures, we feel the joy of others. And when one of us weeps over our treasures or our losses, we weep. We're part of a community of God. And remember the reaction of Elizabeth and her baby when she sees Mary and Mary greets her? She cried out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." We have the ability to share with one another. And in doing so, we lose the Ten Commandment or the Tenth Commandment problem. And no, I'm not going to get to go fishing with Tom or wear Anne's amazing jackets or maybe even get one of those puppies. But I mean, we can see the joy in the eyes and lives of those around us, just as Elizabeth did. She saw Mary's joy, and she felt Mary's joy, and she shared Mary's joy. Let's learn from that most powerful woman in the world. Even the lowliest of us might be destined for greatness, and yet we are to remain obedient and faithful and kind. And we can share our lives with joys and sadnesses and realize that we each bring something special to share with this community. Mary is the symbol of goodness and kindness. And as we round the corner towards Christmas, it's time to dust off our own goodness and kindness. And just as we put on that Christmas sweater or vest, we can adorn ourselves with the sentiments of this blessed season. Obedience to God, as we saw in our Mary. Faithfulness to one another, as we saw in Elizabeth and to our God. Kindness and gentleness to all we meet. And remaining strong in our faith and our love of one another. Amen.